Welcome to New York City. I'm Trevor Dan, and this is the Radio Today programme, On the Road. I'm on a 15th floor terrace overlooking 54th and Lexington, and I'm talking to you on my latest fave gizmo. It's a Shure microphone called a Motive, M-O-T-I-V. It comes in a little egg-shaped box, and it slips into your iPhone via the Lightning connector. Then the software spins the screen round so you can monitor the recording. Does it sound any good? 120 quid from the Apple Store and fits in your pocket. Let me know what you think.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics. Innovative solutions for creative radio people.
So back indoors, back under the duvet, and on with this week's episode. Now, I'm in the States working on a Radio 4 documentary, but this visit happened to coincide with the annual New York Festival's Radio Awards. They've had a controversial history in the UK. At one time, I remember, BBC staff and stations were forbidden to enter. But in the absence of the Radio Academy Awards, more of which later in Stuart's News Bulletin, the BBC has embraced the New Yorks and this year won a special new award for Broadcaster of the Year. Now, the event itself is a fairly typical dinner. Extracts are played, speeches go on too long, some people drift away before the final closure after more than 4 hours. But it is, I think, a heartwarming celebration of good work by producers and presenters from all over the world. And it was especially good to see indie producers and even student stations like Spark in Sunderland winning gongs alongside the mighty state broadcasters. Afterwards, anyway, I hooked up with the organiser, Rose Anderson, and first some of the winners.
My name's Liam Bird. I'm a freelance radio producer, and I won a silver for a documentary called In Search of Southern Hospitality. It went out on Radio 4 and was presented by Rich Hall.
And this was the documentary in which Rich went round the southern states of the US looking at southern hospitality.
Yeah, so we were looking at the idea that in the 40s, 50s, the South was known for being very welcoming, and so stereotypically, if your car broke down, someone will stop, help you. The idea was to go back and see, we live in a more of a cynical time, so it was like the idea was to see if it's still there.
And how much does it matter to you as a UK-based radio producer that you can win an award at an international festival like this?
I think it's phenomenal, and I think the fact that for such a tiny island that we are, we had so many representations from our country winning awards. So yeah, it's great. You get to come to New York, get to meet people, and you get this lovely, quite a heavy bludgeoning awards to take home.
Which you've got to put in your bag and cart through customs.
Yeah, I think part of the award should also be an extra check-in on your luggage. So, yeah.
Thank you. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Helen Shaw, Athena Media from Dublin, Ireland.
And what did you win?
Well, what
didn't you win?
Well, actually, in this year, we've won 2 gold, a finalist cert. But most amazingly of all, we've won the Grand Award for the Kinder Letters. So I'm quite blown away by that, because it is...
Tell me about that programme.
The Kinder Letters is a story about a book that was made by 12-year-old girls, a handmade book written in German, the pictures that they drew, letters they wrote in school one day in 1946 to say thank you to Ireland for sending food parcels. And the story was quite complex, because what we really used the book to talk about was not just what happened then and find these women, who many of them are still alive in their 70s, and we told their stories, but we also began to look at why was Ireland in 1946 sending food parcels to German schoolgirls in a Catholic school in bombed out Saarbrücken. I think the main thing about the New York Radio Festival is that it's praise from peers, from radio people. So I take this as the most serious radio competition that we can enter, because the judges are themselves all radio makers who've previously won in other competitions. So what it does is validate what we do, and sometimes we can make a program and it might only be heard in our country. We will put it out as a podcast and we will try to make it heard globally. But to have a scenario where a small program like the Kinder Letters is deemed to be one of the best in this year's competition, it makes all of us sort of feel like, wow, this thing we do, maybe it's worth continuing to do it and maybe it matters.
Congratulations.
Thank you, Trevor.
I'm Anna Louise Walter, and I won Best Student Radio Personality. I put together a demo, so of all the kind of crazy stuff that I've done, interviewing farmers about how to find love and stories that I've told on my radio shows. And yeah, no, I've just put all that together and I've won an award tonight.
And which university is?
Oh, it's Canterbury Christchurch University and it's the student station CSRFM.
And we've got another student winner here.
Yep, I'm Robert Forshaw. I'm from the University of Salford and I won best student radio drama.
Now, that's something that student radio doesn't normally do, does it?
It's
drama, that's kind of expensive.
It's a bit of a niche. Well, mine was made entirely for no money at all, but it is kind of proof that you can do anything if you want to put your mind to it without any, as long as you have passion, you don't really need money. But yeah, it was a bit of a niche thing. There was only six of us that actually attempted to do a radio drama in the entire 80 strong course. But I think it's really rewarding to do radio drama. I absolutely love radio drama. It's like books for lazy people. So you don't have to do any of the work. You don't have to read anything. It's just spoken to you and you just get all the images in your head. Just the same.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Got two winners here from Canada.
Toronto.
Wild colonial boys and girls.
Yeah.
Tell us what you won and what for.
So one of the awards we won was a bronze medal for the travel and tourism category for a documentary, a special that we produced called Mind the Gap, AMI Visits London. Getting it from an accessible point of view. And
these are programs that you make for visually impaired listeners.
Yes, blind and visually impaired listeners, exactly.
The company's called Accessible Media Inc., and we work for AMI Audio, and it actually started out as the National Broadcast Reading Service. So more than a decade ago, all we really did was read newspaper articles, magazine articles, and things like that. But then we expanded into a bit of a specialty channel. We do programming specifically designed for people who are blind or low vision, which can be anything from our broadcast reading service, to on-location features where we just describe things that people can't see. Or, for example, I did a documentary and it was about literature, the public domain, copyright, and accessibility, which is something our audience is interested in, but isn't necessarily accessible content, in quotes.
And how exciting is it to be in New York and winning an award and being recognized?
It's wonderful to be in New York and to be recognized. It's
an honor. I mean, it's like, it's almost like, you know, we joke around when we watch the Oscars, like, oh, those actors who always say it's an honor to be nominated, but it really is.
And congratulations.
My name is John Catlett, and I used to be involved in broadcasting, particularly radio, in Europe, from Laser 558 in 1984 through Radio Free Europe in just a few years ago before I retired back here to New York. I listen regularly to the podcast.
Well, you're so kind to say that.
And enjoy it very much. It was a great thrill to see you here tonight, as well as seeing all the British programs that won wonderful awards. My very favorite was the Battle of Britain Reconstructed, I must say.
Huge thing, wasn't it?
It was just astonishing what it all went into that program.
And what do you think the New York Festival Radio Awards are for? What's their value?
Well, their value is they give me a chance to think I'm still involved in radio because I'm on the judging committee and the advisory committee, and I love doing this. But it's astonishing how broad the experience of radio can be. And we see that when we are asked to listen to, usually each judge has to listen to 55, 60 programs before we come to the end of our job.
It's quite onerous, isn't it, actually?
Yes, it is.
It's a judging process.
Yes, it is. But it's very well done because each of us get to listen from our homes individually. We don't have to gather and argue about anything. We listen at our leisure. I don't know how many judges there are because we've never met in one room. Probably more judges than there are recipients in this room.
Thank you very much, John.
It's a brilliant thing to be receiving an award for a Frank Sinatra program in New York because, after all, if you can do well here...
I liked your speech a lot.
Was it okay? Oh,
very kind of you.
It was short
very
and funny.
Yeah, well,
which
those
is
are the two things that matter.
Exactly.
That's kind of you. I'm here with celebrity. Emma Sams is here and John Coltshaw is here, and you collaborated on a drama. Tell us how this started, Emma.
I was doing an interview with my local BBC radio station, which
is... this is BBC Radio Gloucestershire.
Gloucestershire, yes. And a marvellous woman who used to work there called Claire Carter. And I was talking about some charity work that I was doing, but she had said, what else are you doing at the moment? And I said, I'm writing screenplays, which I really enjoy. That evening, she emailed me and said, you know, I've always wanted to do a radio drama. And we haven't had one at BBC Radio Gloucestershire. They haven't had one probably in 20 years.
It's not something BBC local radio can afford.
No, and then they just don't do it. I mean, none of them do. But they said, why don't you do one for us? Would you consider it? And, of course, no budget at all. But I said, yes, I would love to.
What did you find was the biggest difference between television, where we know you best, and radio?
Well, first of all, radio, your imagination is, there's not the budgetary requirements in terms of, you know, we had a helicopter in one of our scenes in the drama, which you could never have had in a TV drama unless you had the budget for it. But your imagination is freer with radio.
John Coltshaw, how did you come to be involved in this?
Well, Emma very kindly took a punt on me and offered me a role in the drama, which I was delighted to accept, being mainly involved in comedy and comedy sketches and impersonations, to play the part of a dramatic character, a DCI, and really play it down and not be aiming for a punchline or a gag, and to play something really real, to tell a story rather than be aiming for a punchline. Wonderful thing to do, and I so enjoyed that, and so learned a great deal from it. And it uses another part of your brain when you take on a drama like that.
John, you've won a few Sonys in your time, a few other radio awards. How does the New York Festival Radio Awards compare?
It's absolutely marvellous, a great honour to be part of something that wins. The sense of it being truly international, and the sense of the world's radio altogether. It was one of the most interesting award ceremonies to be part of and to sit through and hear all the different manner of programmes that were made, about all the different manner of subjects by such passionate broadcasters and producers. It was a fascinating ceremony to listen through today.
All of this fantastic stuff is the brainchild of Rose Anderson, who's run it. Have you run it since it started?
No, I've only been here for 6 years.
It's a fantastic event, isn't it? You must be very proud of it.
You know, what makes me the proudest is to know that our grand jury, that's made up of winners from the previous years, volunteer their time to listen to the radio programs submitted from 29 countries this year. And they bring their breadth of experience into evaluating these programs. And they don't take into account whether it's produced by a media giant or a single person. All they do is recognize the excellence and the creative ability of what's going on in radio today. It makes me very proud to have anything to do with that.
And what's your background in this, Rose? Why are you doing this? Did you make radio shows?
Actually, most of my background is in television production.
The dark side.
The dark side. But we always did work with the radio teams. I started off at ABC News Special Events, Breaking News. So of course, we worked very closely with ABC Radio. I then went on to work on Five Olympics for three networks. So for me to be able to work on something that includes creative production across all genres, documentary, drama, breaking news, long form, and specials, is, it just goes to my sweet spot because I've worked on every single one of that type of programming.
Well, congratulations on a brilliant event, and I'm sure you'd want to say to the UK audience, we should enter this, shouldn't we?
Oh, yes. And I invite you to go to our website, newyorkfestivals.com to our winners showcase, and you will be able to listen to all of this year's radio winners to your heart's content in your own time.
Thank you very much, Rose Anderson. It's the Radio Today program. We're in New York, but Stuart Clarkson still has this week's news. Over to you, Stuart.
Thank you, Trevor. And the big news this week is that the Radio Academy Awards are coming back. The Audio and Radio Industry Awards, or ARIAs, will take place in Leeds on the 19th of October at the city's arena. Entries open on the 4th of July, and new categories include things like Best Podcast, Best Digital Audio Service, and there'll also be more traditional radio categories such as Best Local and Best National Station, Best Sports Show, etc., etc. The awards are being chaired by Radio 2's Bob Shannon and the former Orion media boss Phil Riley. Here's the Radio Academy Managing Director, Roger Cutsforth.
We wanted it to be a very different event and a very different awards. I think the previous awards were of their time, but we wanted one that was more reflective of a modern, dynamic and diverse industry. And that's what we're all about. You know, if I was to look at what had gone before, and this is a personal opinion, I thought it was a little bit old hat, and we wanted to refreshen it and be a bit more dynamic. So that's where we are.
Big news in Birmingham this week as Tom Ross did his last show on Free Radio after 35 years on air in the city. He joined BRNB in 1981 and has been football commentator, head of sport and host of the Friday night phone-in. He also did 11 years on the Capital Gold breakfast show in Birmingham from 1997. Neil Fox is returning to the air for his first shows in nearly 2 years. The former Capital Magic and Pepsi chart host is part of the lineup for a new digital station, Thames Radio, which is going on the London 2 DAB multiplex. Pat Sharp is also going to be on the station. Its owner, Nation Broadcasting, says it's bringing back the heyday of Capital in the 80s and 90s and says it'll also be welcoming further big names in the coming months. And as you've been hearing, lots of UK success this week at the New York Festivals Awards. The BBC was named Broadcaster of the Year, and TBI Media picked up Production Company of the Year. Lots more reaction from the awards at radiotoday.co.uk. And that's the very latest. I'm Stuart Clarkson.
Thank you, Stu. And before we leave the New York Awards, a personal apology from me to Manveen Rana, who won a stack of prizes for a brilliant documentary series following a Syrian refugee family across Europe. She picked up the BBC's award on behalf of Helen Bowden too. Well, Manveen was asking about the trusty Radio Today flash mic, and while demonstrating it, I think I managed to wipe her interview. Anyway, I didn't realise until today it's not here. So apologies for that, Manveen. My bad. David Lloyd on the Radio Today programme after this.
Visual radio smarter and cheaper. Virtual director from Broadcast Bionics combines your social media, messaging, photos, audio and videos with intelligent camera control and automated graphics. Welcome to the social studio at bionics.co.uk. Radio
Moments. It's 50 years this week since Tony Blackburn made his debut on the pirate station, which was to become his favourite, and the one which influenced his eventual Radio 1 approach.
And if you'd like a record played on the breakfast call, you can't request an actual record, but just put on a card who your friends are and who you'd like me to say hello to in your own name and address, and address it to Tony Blackburn, breakfast call, Radio London, 17 Curzon Street, London, W1.
The Tony Blackburn Show, number one!
And hey, everybody, it's shoe sale time at Revel from January the 3rd. Greatest range of season's best mod footwear in town. Big, big price reductions. Only shoes in perfect new condition offered for sale. Revel, Carnaby Street, New Bond Street, Oxford Street, and through Chelsea and throughout Greater London. Go Revel for the best shoe sale bargain ever. From January the 3rd, remember the name.
How great is that? I bet he loved every minute of reading that script. Tony Blackburn wrestling with the early brand integration as he began on board the Pirate Radio London this week in 1966. 32 years ago this week, a celebrity in the Arches.
It really is a beautiful part of the world.
Oh, yes indeed. I was born in Sturchley, you know.
Well, it's been very good of you to let us take over your hotel.
It's
been our privilege, hasn't it, Mr. Woolley?
Oh, yes. Yes, I should say so.
I think you've been very generous. But as the Duke was saying, we do need all the help we can get, to make this a very special year for the NSPCC.
Her Royal Highness Princess Margaret appearing on The Archers this week in 1984. She was the first royal to take part in a BBC drama. She played herself. Now this week, 12 years ago, Mark Thompson took up the post of BBC Director General.
I think most people would accept that if you want to have the best people working for the BBC, delivering the best programmes and the best services, and if you also accept that that means that particularly at a moment in broadcasting history where people can move very freely from the BBC to other broadcasters and back, the BBC has to bear, to some extent, in mind the external market.
Mark Thompson, who assumed the BBC throne this week in 2004, he said, "This is a great time to be coming back to the BBC." Happy 41st this week to a northern commercial station. Les Ross kicked it off.
I'll be with you in 5 minutes' time to start our very first breakfast show. Hope you'll risk staying that long anyway.
Radio Tees is going to have a very individual sound. It's very difficult for me to describe the sound because it is a sound, but it will be something that is identifiable as Radio Tees, and you won't have heard before. The music may be the same, some of the words may be the same. It's not what you do, but the way you do it. And in that, we're going to be very different.
The launch of Radio Tees, later TFM, this week in 1975. 2 years ago this week, we lost a favourite voice, known from and loved by his listeners on BBC Radio Bristol, and before that, on Radio West.
I have to bring you the saddest news imaginable. Our colleague, your friend, my dear friend, Trevor Fry has passed away. Now, I know this will come as a great shock to you, as it did to us. Our first thoughts, of course, go to Sue, his wife, to his children, his family and close friends who we send much love.
Because this, my friends, I promise, is not a sad goodbye. It's another part of the journey. And yet, the pleasure of being with you each week is something I will never forget. I will really miss you.
The voice of Trevor Fry, who died this week in 2014. Another launch now. Happy birthday to the BBC in Leeds.
Leeds and the world at one. This is Alan Shaw reporting. When we set up our own news service, it was an interesting experiment. We were the only station to collect our own news. Other stations relied solely on outside freelance news agencies. We also did our own national and international news, and I remember we were the first outpost of the BBC to mention that war had actually broken out in Czechoslovakia.
The early philosophy of BBC Radio Leeds this week in 1968. Opening contributions included an Alan Bennett monologue and a talking budgerigar. It's 32 years this week since the commercial radio industry decided it had simply had enough of regulatory interference and staged a rebel conference which was to be the catalyst for significant change. Ian Rufus tells of one example of the regulator poking its nose in.
We had to submit our initial programme schedule to the IBA, and then I was summoned down to the IBA to see, I can't remember what his title was, head of programming or whatever it was at the IBA. And we went out for lunch in a pub in Knightsbridge, and he caught the programme schedule, and he'd come through it, and he said, yes, very, very good, yeah, like that. What we'd like to see is an hour of classical music programming every lunchtime. And I said, we're not doing that. And he said, well, I'm not going to approve the programme schedule.
Ian Rufus, as we mark the so-called Heathrow Conference this week in 1984. So with Music While You Work beginning on the BBC Forces programme 76 years ago... Super Gold launching on Chilton and Northants AM frequencies 26 years ago, later Classic Gold. Super Gold, 792 AM. The first radio coverage of Wimbledon 93 years ago. And hard rebrands for 2CR Buzz, Champion, Coast, Essex, Invicta, Marcher, Ocean and Southern 7 years ago. Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Thank you, David. Thanks also to Rose Anderson and everyone I met at the New York Awards, to Stuart Clarkson, researcher Hayley Hayes, and of course you for listening. This has been a TDC production. I'm Trevor Dann, and next week, fingers crossed, I'll be reporting from WNYC, the home of Radiolab.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creating and distributing clever software for radio.